And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, guys and girls? This is Andrew Morgans with Marknology and Startup Hustle. We're excited to get this episode going. We're going to be interviewing Yoni from Gatita. Yoni, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, super stoked to have him on the show. I was on his own podcast several weeks ago. We had a great time just talking about my story, and I thought, what better chance than to give him a chance to kind of tell me more about his background, and I'll be on the other side of the questions. Before we get started, thank you to Fullscale. They're our sponsor today, where they can help you with any of your outsourcing needs when it comes to development. So let's get started. Yoni, super excited to have you here. I think last time I took the whole time talking about myself, and I didn't really get a chance to dig into all of your background and experience. So catch us up briefly on how you got to Gatita.
Oh, wow. I'll try to make it short and sweet. Established 2015, almost 5 years ago. It grew from organically, it grew from the need for a solution. And I'll tell you what I mean. In my background, I was an Amazon seller. You know, I started selling on Amazon roughly 10 years ago. And at some point along the way, I met my current partner, Max, which is also the CEO of Gatita. He's my partner even till today. Okay. We started selling on Amazon, and then quickly we grew from zero to $20 million a year, very, very rapidly. You know, so the scale was just tremendous. And then later on, we teamed up with another group that, you know, altogether we did around $100 million a year in annual revenue. Wow. So because of these difficulties of scale, we had to develop, I guess, two things. The first thing was a technology to audit all the transactions that's going on a mass scale. So we did that. And the second part was to develop a dedicated team that can handle all the back and forth reconciliation and opening claims with Amazon to reconcile all these transactions and all these disputes, you know, for lack of a better word. So we did that. We accomplished both, and the results are really good. We had a good handle on what's going on in terms of auditing all the activity on our Amazon account, especially on FBA. FBA is Fulfillment by Amazon. It's the network that they have, the logistical network that they open up for third-party sellers, so they can utilize on storing goods over there and shipping products into you know, customers once the orders come in. So once we had that set up, we had friends from the industry who were kind of selling those kind of levels, who told them about what we have, the solution. So they come to us and said, you know what, guys, help us out. We'll pay you. You know, it sounds like, you know, we can really use your help. So it was like a light bulb moment. We said, that's interesting that we can actually also make money out of this. So they were kind of our first customers. And the first few years, it was pretty much word of mouth. We're just growing organically. Because the results are very good, very effective. I helped a lot of businesses. And then after a few years, we kind of had to make a decision. What are we going to do with this? You know, right now we have two businesses. One is in retail, online e-commerce, right? Retailing. And the other one is in e-commerce, but it's really a combination of technology and services. So we told ourselves, you know what? If we do both of them, you know, we're doing okay. But if we feel like if we're going to focus just on one of them, we're probably going to take it to different dimensions and higher levels. So we said, you know what? Let's cash out on retail. Nobody can really take away what we know how to do, you know, what we know to do in retail. So, but the software and technology and services, it's a brand new experience. It's very intellectual. Let's see how far we can take this. So that's what we chose. We chose the adventure based on, you know, the familiar and the something you feel comfortable, almost like a cocoon. You know where it starts, we know where it ends. We ditched that, we cashed it out. It paid us very, really well. We're happy with that. But I said, you know what, let's move on to the next hustle, the next experience, which we did. And then the results were pretty much tremendous. You know, we're able to really focus all in on this baby, on this company, and the startup. And what was interesting was that almost overnight, a lot of the competition that we had in the marketplace instantly became our clients and our friends.
Right.
We're able to, to open up and say, you know what, we can really help you this way. Beyond the auditing and beyond getting you reimbursed for any types of discrepancies or issues that Amazon does, because that's pretty much what we do right now. Just to give some, I guess, background information, the company that, I'm the COO and the founder is called Getida. It's an acronym. It means Get IDA, Get Intelligent Data Analytics. Essentially, what we do in a nutshell is that we audit Amazon accounts for logistical and financial discrepancies. So, quick example, if you are an Amazon seller, you want to ship your products into Amazon's warehouses, and let's say you want to ship 1,000 units into Amazon's fulfillment center, you ship 1,000 units, but when they actually receive it, they only receive 990 units. So there's 10 units missing. So, our system finds that, catches that, and then our service team will open up a case with Amazon to investigate. If Amazon finds the 10 units, everybody's good to go, bye-bye. But if they don't, what usually happens is they provide a financial reimbursement. They pay the sellers for that lost inventory. And only if they pay, a reimbursement, that's when we charge a fee, a 25% fee. That's our business model. It's always a win-win. We're incentivized to give you value. If we don't give you anything, we don't get anything. So that's kind of the ground rules for what Getida does.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were a seller yourself before you got into Getida. That's really interesting. So I like you chasing the challenge of something that's new. And as a company, Marknology, we have 40 or 50 brands at any given time that we're managing on Amazon as well. And I know that we were very excited when we got introduced with Getida, because as a company as well that's always trying to provide value, there's only so much time in the day, right? And I can tell you that my sellers are not going through, every transaction, and they might look at shipments and notice that 10 are missing or things like that. But outside of us opening cases, there was nothing really set in place to constantly evaluate their stores, evaluate their business, and have peace of mind that someone's looking to make sure they get the money that's owed to them. So as someone that uses Getida, I mean, it's an awesome service, and it was something that wasn't around when I got started in this business.
Right. So yeah, my point was actually, so first of all, I appreciate that. I'm happy that you guys are enjoying the value that we bring out. But beyond the money, beyond the reimbursements, and the fact that we help the sellers financially, what we're very proud of is the ability to help them on any other level with consulting, free consulting. We see ourselves as a community. So whenever any seller gets striked out or faces any challenges with their growth, we help them. If it's legal, if it's taxes, if it's suspensions, whatever it is, we've been there. We've done that. And for many levels, we did from 100 grand to a million, 1 million to 2 million, 2 million to 4 million, 4 million to 8 million. All these milestones, we crossed them with all these challenges. So we're very, very proud of the ability that we have to come and say, yeah, we've actually been through that. Here's what you should probably do, or we just help you out whatever we can free of charge just because of our experience. But if we cannot do that, what we do is we actually direct them where to go, to trusted players or service providers from the industry that we're partnered with. And we feel very, very comfortable that, A, they bring the results, they're bona fide, they're trustworthy, they get, they deliver the bacon, and they're good to go. So we give them the direction like that. And through this kind of exchange and transactions, we are actually in our community. We're able to build a community and a culture behind the company. So beyond the fact that we're helping everybody financially and there's money coming in, and thank God the company is profitable, there's a lot of soul. We find a lot of soul and purpose into it by helping other sellers beyond just the money that we get out of it immediately. Because our mission statement is pretty clear. It's empower the sellers community. Do whatever it's in our ability, in our toolbox, to empower them. Because if they're empowered, they're successful, and they're thriving, they're going to thrive for many years to come, we're doing it selfishly. It's going to help us as well. Because our business will also thrive and be successful, especially if they grow in sales. If they grow in sales and there's more and more transaction coming into the network, statistically speaking, there's going to be more discrepancies going on. And because of that, we'll give us the opportunity to step in, help, and get rewarded and compensated financially after we get our job done successfully.
For everyone listening that doesn't know some of the difficulties that come with selling on Amazon, let's talk about that just for a second. I think a lot of times when people hire Marknology or talk about Amazon, they've watched a YouTube, they've read an article, they've been to an e-commerce conference or something, and they're like, I need to be on Amazon. But it's different than a lot of things for a lot of reasons. I mean, for the same reason that you had a $100 million business and needed some kind of process in place to be able to look at your transactions, right? Let's talk about some of those challenges, either like with the process of which you do now. So why was it so hard for you to look at your transactions? Why can't someone just do that, you know, automatically themselves? From, you know, talking about, I know for a fact that the refund process is lengthy. So you might ask, you know, you get told you're going to get a refund, but do you get the refund and those kinds of things. Let's talk about some of the challenges around Amazon and how you solve them.
Got it. So in retrospect, looking back, I understand that because of all these years of experience, we built so many layers of capability and just finding things that most sellers are not even aware of. You know, there's a saying, you don't know what you don't know, right? So we gave a very, very entry-level basic example of sending, you know, 1,000 units into Amazon and there's 990 missing. But you gave a good example. You know, let's say there is something that went missing and you opened the case and you got an approved, you got an approval for a reimbursement and they give you even a reimbursement ID. So you figured, okay, I'm good to go. But actually, if you come later on and check out a few days or a few weeks after, you find out that never got processed. That's a financial discrepancy. So that, you know, you do all that work, you audit, you scan, you find the issues, you open a case, they ask for more information, you provide all the information, they have another reply and another follow-up. You get all that done, you get approved. Oh, you think, you know, you're in the promised land? You still get a check on that. It just shows you the complexity level and all these layers of activity. And most sellers, we come to find that as they become more successful and they grow, the more you have to go back and forth and audit and be involved in all this process, it takes away from your ability to work, focus on the core. What's the core? Create a brand, generate revenue, source products, you know, do the marketing, all that magic. That's really what the magic is. You know, if you do it yourself or you do it with Merknology as an agency, or the combination, because, you know, you guys do, you have your know-how and you have the seller who's the entrepreneur who's really good in sourcing. Maybe they're a factory or maybe they had an idea for a brand, but all the packaging around it, you know, as it pertains to e-commerce, you guys can do, but as it pertains to brick and mortar, either they have the experience from their own background or they come to another agency to help them. So you have all these widgets and basically a team that you create, like an all-star team that you work with the best. You know, if you work with the best for auditing, you know, you have it covered, you can scale it, you can scale it up. Right now you're doing $1 million a year. By the time you're doing $10 million a year, hopefully in a few short months or a few years, it's still covered. You still have that going. You know, let's say you're starting on Amazon now, you're able to reconcile, you know, all the things that's going on, but what's going to happen a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? So if you're not thinking scale, that's an issue, right? But even if you're thinking scale, you're going to scale all that, you know, all your capacity and try to handle it. What you don't have is what you don't know. Basically, I'll give an example. We're very passionate about, you know, solving problems and the challenges of our sellers. So when anytime a seller comes in with a new type of problem that they discovered, so what happens usually is like, hey, yo, Gatita, check this out. Look what happened to me. Like, please do tell us. So once they do, we're like, whoa, this is a new one. This is a new type of issue we've never seen before. Okay. So what happens is if we're able to solve it and get them reimbursed, what happens instantly is that we take that problem and scan throughout our network again for other sellers. And then we're able to identify for this seller and that seller. And all of a sudden there's more value that, you know, comes up. Right. You know, let's touch a bit more examples of issues that can happen. You know, once your units, your items, your inventory is already inside Amazon's warehouse, for example, in the warehouse, things could get lost, damaged, destroyed, disappeared. Change the status of if it's a pesticide or it's a hazmat, and because of that it got destroyed, it got disposed. All this wacky stuff that happens out of your control because of the Amazon system. It's a very large body, it's a very large system, and when you look deep inside, sometimes funky things can happen. You know, strange things can happen, and once you identify that, you got to take action and resolve it. So identifying it is an issue. You just don't know. You have no idea, no concept of what can happen. So we have that ability. We have a very, very large toolbox to have a kind of a checklist. Let's check this, let's check that, you know, all these types of issues. You know, so a standard seller will check for three, four things that he's familiar with, which is cool. You know, if somebody has a good grip on that, we recommend them to stay with that, keep it. We're not here to take anything away from that. We're here to give you some, you know, the value from the stuff you don't know. That's pretty much our philosophy. The idea is really to, you know, the seller should do above and beyond the capability. And once they're done, we can come in and clean it up and give him anything that was left behind. That's also a big part of our philosophy. And through this philosophy, we've really been able to grow a lot and customize the experience for every seller. You know, some sellers just say, you know what, you guys just do everything and that's cool. You know, we want to just focus on our core, everything was strong, that's fine. Some sellers are, they already have a good setup. You know, they already were able to develop a good setup there. So we tell them, you know, you keep what you have, it's all good. And we're going to, you know, we give you, let's say 90 days. We'll give you 90 days. Your team does above and beyond what they know how to do and what to do. And after 90 days, whatever you guys left behind, we'll come in and we'll clean up after you. Anything that left behind, we'll come in. They're like, yeah, with pleasure. And it usually works out. Finding synergy is really very easy for us, and the ability to customize is a key component. So we're not rigid. We don't tell them, you know, we do it all and you do nothing. That's not the message. That's not the approach.
What in the early days of when you were a seller and kind of figuring out this approach, how did you connect with Amazon to get access to the API as a developer and kind of be able to pull this data when you weren't really set up to be a software company? You know, you were really just kind of like figuring out how to make your store better. Tell me about those early days.
Yeah, that's actually a very good story, a question. The answer is quite simple. Beyond the fact that we do auditing and reimbursements, we also we want to have visuals. So we developed a dashboard. In the dashboard, anybody can get the UX, the user experience, and seeing getting free data analytics. You know, if you anybody can go to Getida.com, sign up. It's free. There's no cost attached. You're able to connect to Amazon account and you get free access to our dashboard. In the dashboard, you're going to see some statistics and data visibility on your account as it pertains to discrepancies and reimbursements. You're going to see aggregated data on your account for the past 12 months on all the reimbursements that happened in your account. You know, not necessarily anything that we generated or worked on. Just, you know, data visibility is key, you know, on Amazon. Probably every Amazon seller recognizes that the more you understand what's going on, the better player you become. So that was also part of the functions that we're looking to get out of this for the users, for the community. So the model works like this. You can join for free, get a free access to our technology, the data, you know, data analytics. And then if you want to upgrade to the service, you know, because there's a technology side and there's a service side. If you want to upgrade to the service, so we actually service your account, you click on enable, you know, or upgrade. And that's when you connect. That's when you connect the second part of the account, which is user permissions. You know, you give us access to open cases and manage them. And that's when we begin the activity of actually working on behalf of the sellers.
Yoni, just to back up a little bit from that, I guess I'm asking a little bit more practical in regards to, you know, you and Max when you guys were, you know, trying to get that dashboard, build that first dashboard. What was the process you went through to get Amazon's permission to connect to the API or to start, you know, being a developer, I guess, on that API?
Yeah, as far as I remember, was it too hard or tedious? Amazon is pretty open-minded with, you know, I believe we went to, I think it was on Seller Central. Yeah, I think when I was on Seller Central, there's a few, if anybody wants or are curious about this, I think the simplest ways to check it out is you go to the top right of Amazon Seller Central on the search box, and I guess you can search there, apply for, you know, a developer ID, and then it'll give you the results where to apply. And then when you apply, they ask you, what do you plan to do? What is your purpose? What is your mission? So, you know, we explain that to them, and Amazon is pretty open about that because a few reasons. Actually, it's a good question because the end of last year, they allocated $15 billion of their budget developing the Amazon App Store. And in the App Store, they encourage all these companies, software companies, technology companies, solution company, any type of company that empowers their marketplace, the Amazon marketplace, they want them to be there. You know, so they vet them. You know, the best way is to open it up, open the gates, but nevertheless, you vet them. And because they do, actually, Getida has two commitments, obviously to our clients, to all their data privacy, you know, all that stuff, you know, in front of the client, but also in front of Amazon as an authorized service provider on their app store, which is a good chance for me to say that, yeah, Getida is available in the Amazon App Store. If you go to the Amazon App Store, put Getida in, you'll see us there as authorized service provider. That's because we applied and went through all the process of vetting. and they check the technology, they check everything. And we actually, if you want to get a bit more granular, we did have at some point, we had to get a lawyer to you know, look at the requirements that Amazon has with how to store data and data privacy, because essentially it's very important that all of us understand, Gatita and the Amazon seller, that all that data is actually Amazon's data.
Right.
You know, many sellers think, oh, I don't want you to see my data. You know, some of them tell you they think that everybody thinks they sell the Holy Grail or something, which is okay. It's a good thing because it's your brand. That's where you're selling your brand. But effectively, you have to understand it's all Amazon's data. It's all in within their marketplace. And beyond that, it's all available. It's all visible. You know, any product that's on Amazon, you can see how you can probably aggregate and see how much it's, you know, how much it's selling for and how many units are sold every month and what's the velocity, what's the volume. And you can kind of have an idea for every single item on Amazon, how much money is being made. You know, it's not a major secret. That's how, I guess, they're private level sellers. That's how they get into the game in the first place. What do they go? What do they do? They right. go, oh, let's see the top 100 items selling on XYZ category. You know, top 100, you see what it is. You see how much, you know, what's the price point? How many units sold a month? What's the revenue? And then what do? Let's go to China or whatever factories we can to get quotes on what's the cost of goods potentially. Oh, so it's probably they're buying around this area. So this is the margin. This is the volume. We should get into this.
Right.
So that's already there. So another important thing for sellers to remember is that if you once you become a top 100, you know, in any category, you become a target.
Right.
You know, you're going to be a target of your own success. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide. It's very, very transparent. It's very visible. So you shouldn't worry about that too much. You should worry about what's the next step for you. You know, your brand is recognized on Amazon, which is great, but also outside of Amazon. You build your .com website. You have you know, digital marketing and brand awareness, influencers, whatever you can to. You have your moat, your business moat as a brand, because they're not just looking for a commodity. They're looking for your brand. They're saying, you know, or they're looking for a certain commodity, but then they see all these commodities, all these generics, and they see, oh, this brand I know. I saw it because it sold, I don't know, this type of item. Sometimes, you know, you develop your brand into other categories, other niches or line products. And because your brand is recognized, had a good experience, it's much easier once you have a brand to scale up your business and to penetrate into other categories. Then it doesn't really matter what the top 100 does, because you have a brand, you have brand recognition. That's so valuable. And that's when you get bought out. If you ever want to do an exit, that's what they buy. They don't really need your products. They go to any factory in any world and in any part of the world and make products. You know, we're not in the age of having a problem to make products. We're at the edge of the world that brands rule the game. The Nikes, the Adidas, the Apple, the Samsung. You know, phones are phones, shoes are shoes. They have endless amount of generics. But these brands, somehow they all make us believe that they're worthy of us paying more, a premium, because we're going to have a different type of experience.
Right.
That is the most challenging things to create, because it's very creative, it's very intelligent, it's very long-term. Once it's created, it's very magical.
That's something that I've learned in this space. You know, I've been working in the Amazon space 8 years. I've seen the brands that are just trying to get an exit. You know, I've seen the brands that didn't plan on blowing up and have blown up and are, you know, crushing it. You know, you talked earlier about scaling and you have to be planning for the long run. I think that's a perfect segue to talk about our sponsor, FullScale. You know, that helps people develop, you know, softwares like yours. Honestly, if I was not a developer and wanted to build something like that for Marknology, FullScale would be the partner of choice for me to be able to do so. And the Amazon API is something that I'm currently working with as I'm building out a dashboard for my brand. So you're talking about scaling all the way up, you know, and I think that those problems are just not something we talk about early on when we're with a brand. So, you know, I've worked with a brand from private labels to the Marvels of the world, the Adidas, like, you know, all types of brands from small and large. And some of them start out and the problems we're dealing with are branding problems, photography, graphics. Maybe it's an inventive, like an invention product, and we need to really describe what it is. But as we grow, we come into different problems. And those are the ones that you just won't know until you get there. But you're not going to have people trying to copyright, you know, or like counterfeit your products or knock them off from China or Amazon create an Amazon basics of the item or any number of things that happen in e-commerce. Those things don't happen unless you're selling a lot of product, right? So people kind of get them backwards in this, I want to protect what I have. I don't want to show it on Amazon. I don't want to, you know, get the data. Well, stop thinking about protecting your data and just go get the rest of the data that's out there and really learn where you can go next. I think one of the big things I get, I guess, a little excited about is, you know, I don't help brands go out there and find another private label product. We help brands tell their story. We help brands with storytelling because that's what builds big brands. I've had 6 brands that I've worked with get bought out. Since I've been working with them, I've seen the process a little bit. It was never in our plans. Me personally, we were just building the brand, but you know, we went through that process. And the private label brands, we're not finding a product for them that's already successful. We're taking a product that has to have value, right? Has to be quality, but we're taking a product and then turning it into a bestseller. So you get to watch that whole process versus like jumping in, I guess, later to the game and, you know, creating something off Alibaba or getting something manufactured if you're in the supplements. We're taking products that don't have that visibility yet, making them get visibility, which then, you know, you see all these different problems that come up. And one of them is, you know, if you have a couple of sales a month or $1,000 in sales or $5,000, Gatita can help, sure, especially if you're doing everything yourself, but it's not that big of a problem. You start growing to $100,000 a month, $200,000 a month, $1 million a month, those problems, you know, get exponentially larger. And I guess that's what I really wanted to hammer on is there's different levels of the Amazon growth game, so to speak. And so you legitimately cannot deal with level 2 issues until you get level 1 success. And so I think that so many people get caught up from making moves or doing whatever, thinking about level 2, level 3, they haven't even hit level 1 success. I'm like, look, if we have issues where you can't keep items in stock or because we're just selling out faster than your warehouse can work 24/7, 7 days a week, like that's happening with one of my sellers right now that's had 1,000% growth. He went from 400K to we're going to do 4.5 million this year in less than 18 months. It's a big problem. He's having to hire people, find new partners, like find new 3PLs, like all kinds of things going on. We couldn't have predicted these problems 12 months ago, you know? So it's just a matter of having the right partners, having the right systems in place to scale so that when you get there, you know, you're ready for it. I love the Amazon is so complicated in my mind that you have to be almost an expert at Amazon to then build software for Amazon, which makes it easier for the people that aren't experts at Amazon to get in the game. But that's what we're talking about right now is you either need the manpower or the expertise to be able to go through all of your data at a high level when you're getting thousands of transactions and really find out where you're losing money. And in some of our cases, I know you've worked with some of our brands, you know, I've seen checks in the thousands in regards to reimbursements. FBA is such a huge, huge part of Amazon in regards to increased velocity of sales, but it's something that you don't have control over. You're prepping your products, you're sending them off to this other warehouse. How do you control loss? How do you control human mistakes? How do you control all of those things? Sure, some of it is in the prep part, but a big part of it is in the follow-up, especially when you start getting international and things like that. So just a little background. I know we have like, you know, this Amazon conversation is new to a lot of people on the podcast, much less, you know, just in the startup world. And I like to kind of give them a little bit of background about what our world is really like. It's not just web development. It's not just creating pretty pages. It's understanding data that not everyone knows how to interpret. And, you know, it's really just finding the good partners to work with that can teach you and help educate your team. So if you already have like an in-house team or you have in-house personnel that should be doing these things, there's still value in partnering with people that have been in this Amazon space for 5-10 years that have kind of seen the evolution of Amazon and that can help guide your team. What kind of, you know, what's the smallest client you work with? What's the biggest? Give us an idea of, you know, who's in the stable at Gatita. And let's touch base about, you know, the speed with which you talk and your accent. I know you're not in Kansas City. Hustle has, you know, has had a lot of guests that are from Kansas City. We've just started going where, you know, we can be remote and do podcasts. COVID has kind of pushed some of that along. Talk to us about where you're based and kind of who you work with.
I'm gonna touch that in a minute, but I would like to say I wanted to add to your points is that essentially we're trailblazers. You know, we open up all these trails, and they're wide open for you guys or anybody that's coming next. You know, we're here to lend a hand. You know, you guys can try to do it on your own, which is cool. We respect that. But if many times you'll find if somebody's willing to lend a hand and you'll get through this trail in a much safer way, quicker way, and then you'll be ready to the more complicated trails. You know, level 3, level 10, level 20. You want to reach to the highest levels. It's it makes the journey much more effective. Let's put it this way. Regarding the spectrum of Gatira, honestly, we have sometimes sign-ups of accounts that didn't even start selling on Amazon because the brand awareness is there. They want to be prepared. They sign up. They have zero activity. Then they start sending their products into FBA, and we're already locked in the system. So to begin the spectrum, zero. From zero all the way to the top 100 sellers, the biggest of the biggest, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. They're all, you know, they're all our clients. So, you know, the spectrum is very wide. We don't discriminate. I like to call it, we're an equal opportunity auditor. Anybody needs an audit, they're welcome to come in, any business that needs help. Many times what we do is it's pretty simple. If somebody comes to me and say, I'm good, I have this, I'm doing it, I got the team, I got the whole thing, I'm like, that's cool, man, it's all good. If you want, what I can do for you, free of charge, we'll connect you to the system and we'll give you an estimate, numbers, how much we think we can get for you. This way you'll make an educated decision as a business owner if you believe that us getting you this money will be helpful for you. And usually it comes out in the thousands, or even if it's $10, they're usually like, all right, let me have it. Go ahead, go take it. But many times it's thousands of dollars or tens of thousands. And sometimes it's a shockwave where it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's when they realize that they don't know what they don't know. And then there's an opportunity for them to get this money. Because if you don't get this money as an organization, as a business, as an entrepreneur, you lose twice. Why? The first thing you're losing is your cost of goods, the inventory, the money you invested in the inventory. And the second thing that you lose is your profit. And why? Because when Amazon, I have a lot of respect for Amazon for this matter. When Amazon pays for reimbursement on Amazon, they pay you, the seller, as if you sold that unit on Amazon. That usually includes a profit. So instead of losing twice, which is your cost of goods, your inventory, the investment, you know, the money invested and the profit, you get that all back. You get back your cost of goods and your profit, which, you know, it's a pendulum swing. And for many, yeah, the effect is usually very, very positive, and we get tremendous results. And it just, you know, it compounds and it resonates throughout the sellers community. That's regarding the spectrum. This is like a multi-layer, you know, breakdown of answers. So now we can touch a little bit of my background and my accent. I apologize for that. I feel among friends, so I speak even faster.
I love it. Passionate. We can keep up. We're from Kansas City, but we can
keep up. Yeah, it's the thing is, usually when I do a podcast or whatever, I try to slow it down a little bit because I realize it's like almost I'm on stage. So I got to start, you know, speak a bit, you know, slower and more clearly. But yeah, I'm right now we're, you know, Gatira and myself, we're positioned in New Jersey, about 20 minutes away from Manhattan, a spit away. So you can effectively say New York. But I was born and raised in Israel. You know, I was born and raised in Israel. My mother's American, so I was an American born abroad. So I always had my grandparents here, and my uncles and aunts, and family. And actually, in Israel, for men, it's mandatory to go to the army. You know, all the guys that go to the army for 3 years, and for women, actually, it's also mandatory, but they only get 2 years. I went to the army. I was actually in the Israeli Navy intelligence. I did my 3 years of service, actually experienced the war 2006 with Lebanon. Unfortunately, we had a violent eruption there, survived that. And then after that, I went to the States to go to school. I went to school, university, met my wife, I got married, and, started selling books on Amazon to get rid of my textbooks. And I figured there's two ways to get more out of my textbooks on Amazon: either do a trade-in or sell it. And if I sell it, I make more money. That was actually my initial, you know, engagement with Amazon. So much like the Jeff Bezos story, it all started with books. Not that I want to compare, but for me also it started with books. I know if I scratch a tenth of a percent of what he accomplished, I'll be satisfied. But yeah, it started with books for me as well.
That's cool. You know, I'm actually working with a few authors right now on books, so it's kind of come full circle. And there's a lot of reason that Amazon consultants stay away from books, mainly around the difficulties with publishers and things like that. But I've been having to do a lot of research about, you know, how he set up Amazon and different things like that to really be able to break it down for authors and understand exactly what to give them advice in. You know, it's a little bit different than products. A lot of similarities, you know, but a lot of differences. And a very smart guy, you know, and I know I've never been to Israel, but it's hot. It's top of my list. You know, especially once the borders open back up, I actually think I might be taking a trip to Turkey.
Nice.
Just for like some business and a family thing. So I'll be close. That'll be the closest that I've been to that direction. But I just knew I already knew you were out of Jersey, so I just wanted to give you a plug there. We didn't get a chance to link up last time I was in New York, but we definitely will. I got a couple more questions for you, you know, about Amazon, and you talked about being $100 million seller, right? So to get a little bit more info on that, and I hope this is okay, but I would love to discuss, like, you know, a lot of people that follow me on Instagram or the social medias are more like wholesaler Instagrammers or, you know, private label, less brands, I would say, less like fully established brands and more people that are trying to make a side hustle or flip products and things like that. And I still like to give them some content, you know. So you went from flipping books to $100 million. That's a book. Right. You should write a book about that. Right. But, you know, how did that start for you? Were you wholesaling products by, you know, with distributors? Were you creating your own products? Like what was your methodology in the early days?
That's a great question. So I'll give you the perspective. For the most part, most of our activity was actually reselling. So we're effectively at some level, we became like a little Macy's, like a department store. We were just involved with all the categories. We had tens of thousands of SKUs. It was just monstrous. Inside that activity, we did build a couple of private label brands. It was something for us. It was passionate. You know, we made the numbers there, but it wasn't the main gig. But we lived in both worlds. But to be fair and give context, most of my world was involved with reselling brands, top brands. And I guess maybe because of the early beginning, you know, books are, I don't want to say that books are brands, but textbooks are, you know, they're high demand, and it was easy to flip. It was easy to convert. You know, you buy for this, you cash it for that. I know we're short on time because we're already deep into the game, but I'll try to make it short and sweet. So to be fair, reselling stuff online was actually for me starting more on eBay. eBay was, you know, the place to do it, and Amazon was kind of up and coming. So what happened was. I'm looking back nostalgically. Okay.
While you're thinking about it, I want to jump in here. Like one thing I noticed was in the early days, people would come to Amazon and SEO wasn't as strong. So people were typing in the exact brand and item that they wanted. And there wasn't a lot of these unknown brands and things like that. So you were typing in like, you know, Air Force One size 11. Like you were very specific into what you were searching. Amazon had done the work of going out and getting the vendors of the big brands. So they were already established on Amazon. You weren't launching new products. You weren't creating SEO, you know, so those were the products that sold. Those were the products that people were comfortable buying. And I would say that, you know, over the last 8 years, it's changed. So when people are looking at people's stories from the beginning till now, what's more prevalent now is the people that have built brands from the ground up, that they've made more exposure to existing brands or more brands have gotten on the platform. People are like, I can get food. I can get a Ford F-150 off Amazon. I can get all kinds of stuff. So there's more people on Amazon looking for more things than those branded items. But also you can't go wrong selling Nikes, you know, closing out a factory warehouse, you know, outlet sale and grabbing a bunch of shoes and flipping them on Amazon. I've heard that, you know, a lot of people started with that model and then realized, hey, I can actually make these listings do better than what's happening right now if I have control. And so then they take it to the next level.
Yeah, they optimize. Even in reselling there now, there's an element of optimizing. You can optimize the listing, add more content, and you know, get a better rank. So now if they're looking for not that specific model, but maybe a similar model, boom, it pops out in the results and you get a better chance of conversion. That's probably going to develop more over time because a lot of the resellers are acknowledging the value of searchability and indexing. But to be fair, back in the old days, I feel like I am, I don't want to be like that, but we created tons of listings on Amazon. Stuff wasn't there before, but not for our necessarily our brands, for Nike, for Adidas, for all these brands. Simply, it wasn't there. So you know, everybody wakes up today thinking, yeah, it's already there in the catalog. But who was behind the scenes doing that? It's the hustlers.
Yeah.
And I was definitely a hustler. We created things that were never, you know, Amazon's catalog. A good amount of it, a good portion of it. If I was ever able to get royalties, it would be probably be tremendous. So the thing is, you know, there's catalogs. These brands come out with new models every year. They're not on Amazon. Somebody has to make the effort to put it. We did it left and right, day and night. So the process of listing, creating, you know, listings and putting the images and accurate information. And I'll share with you more than that. We actually paid at PPC early on. We paid. We wanted these listings, even though it was Nike, Adidas, all these guys, we wanted it to be ranked. So we put money into that also. So it was labor. It was pretty much like private label for the big guns and the big brands. Now they keep on cashing it in where we cashed already out. But, you know, fair game. We didn't have to, you know, it was easier to sell. It was just much, much easier to sell. And we were able to.
You wanted to sell the shoes. They weren't there. You had to put them up.
Yeah, we put them up. It's there. It's selling. It's converting quickly. You buy it. You sell it. I mean, I'll be honest, though, the margins are not as thick as when you do private label. But you have more, I guess, ability to do it with confidence because, God forbid, you ever get stuck with this inventory. You can cash it out outside of Amazon. You go to TJ Maxx, you know, these bottom lines, brick and mortar, you know, they'll take it. You know, if you have a private label, you want to cash it out, who's going to take you outside of, they don't know you. You might even donate for free. They might not even put in the store because nobody's going to pick it up from the shelf. But once you have the big brands, that's some sort of a comfort level that a lot of players have, knowing that they'll be able to cash it out and liquidate it if problems happen. But there was definitely this type of element. So you know, from early on, we created a lot of listings. We pumped a lot of muscle into Amazon's catalog, Amazon's variation, Amazon's advertising. The ecosystem got enriched from the early beginning, from that game, from that play. But yeah, things have changed tremendously. It's even more robust, and it's the one thing's for sure. The game keeps and the difficulty level of the game just keeps on rising and getting higher because things are getting more sophisticated, which is good. You know, in the early days, we felt like when I was telling people, "What do you do for a living?" I'm like, I sell stuff on Amazon. You know, I'm talking about 2012, 2013. They're like, you know, they feel bad for this guy.
Right.
Today, you know, today if you do, I do business. Everybody, tell me more about it. How do you do it? So. You know, even then, I meet player. When I was getting in there, I met players that were there for even earlier on. You know, 2005, 2006. Some sellers, they get paid daily because they're legacy. They have a legacy account from the days when Amazon paid you daily. You made your sale, you get your money tomorrow.
Wow, you know? I have yet to see a legacy seller. I've seen some old sellers. I haven't seen someone get paid daily. That's
yeah.
Really cool.
You got those. You got the old schoolers. There's definitely old schoolers in the game.
That's the advantage of being an early adopter to a program. And, you know, 10 years later, Amazon's cool. Nerds are cool. Entrepreneurs are cool. You know, a lot changed. I got my start, I think, on your podcast when I told my story with car parts. And we were taking all the car parts in the industry, aftermarket, OEM. I was writing those product descriptions, aggregating them in Excel by the thousands and putting them up on Amazon and online. Like, I legitimately added car parts to the web for the very first time.
That made Amazon. This is what makes Amazon Amazon. That variety, the store of everything. So behind the scenes, obviously much respect to their private label sellers, but maybe even more respect to the resellers because, you know, at first it wasn't all these private labels. It was pretty much the big brands. Amazon was desperate to get big brands because they wanted to get recognized. They wanted the recognition. They're desperate because they were knocking on the door of these big brands. Most of them said, "No way, we don't need you. We gotta." They were thinking old school, the past. Now they're all rushing. You know, all these big, they need e-commerce presence of any kind. And 10, 15 years ago, they're in their mindset, like brick and mortar. We're committed to that. We're part of that infrastructure. E-commerce is a threat, so they decided not to go with it. Now they're waking up to a situation where they're descending. Maybe not Nike, but many other brands, Gucci, Fendi, all these stuff. Right now, they're actually dying because of COVID. There's no brick and mortar. They're in big trouble. They have no outlet to sell their products. If they had a position in e-commerce online with their website, maybe on Amazon, maybe even eBay, whatever it is, they can keep rotating their goods. even for these markups, even for these prices, they can do it. No problem. You set it on MAP, you know, manufacturer approved pricing. You work with an agency, you get a contract, they sell it on Amazon, whatever you want, for the pricing that you approve, and you're good. They refuse that, and now they're suffering.
You know,
today, we're all smart looking at what the situation, but if they had a little bit of a foresight, they will probably prevent the situation they're in today. But you know what? It created the whole generation of the private label brands that, you know, grew from Amazon, and now they're gonna be so authentic and so original and so sophisticated, they're gonna grow outside of Amazon and become the real deal. I really do believe if you survive the Amazon ecosystem and this terrain, really there's nothing much that's gonna hold you back. It's you know, a month of Amazon in e-commerce is like 30 years of old school brick and mortar years business, because just velocity, speed, intelligence from all directions, it's a wild and invigorating game. And I do believe that, you know, anybody's playing it now, there's still a good timing. It's still a good time to do it. 5 years from now, 10 years, 15 years, you're good. There's a lot of room to make money.
I love how you said that, you know, and you were talking about how the brands, if you can make it through Amazon, it's like 10 or 15 years in retail. And I always try to have respect to everything, you know, the wise ones that have been in the game a long time understand, as someone that's new to business. You know, I've been on Amazon for 8 years. I was in a band before that, you know, and in school. So,
full disclosure, I was also in a band when I was growing up.
See, there we go. You know, and you were also in intelligence in the service as well. So, very similar backgrounds, even though we come from different sides of the world. And I love that right now. I love that specifically right now with everything going on. You know, one thing I would say that I just wanted to harp on that was, when you do things like for the young entrepreneurs that are listening today, me and Yoni both, we did a lot of things for free. We did a lot of things to get to this point.
I'll be honest. I still do. Today it's more philanthropy. Let's put it this way. Just to help the people. You know what? I don't need this, but you do it. Right. So you got to leave room for the heart, but go ahead. I didn't want to.
Meaning putting products up, putting listings up, understanding data sheets. Like, the reason we got to a point where we're here, where we're able to speak as experts of someone that's ran businesses that do 100 million or working with the top 100 sellers on Amazon or working with a Marvel, or it's a crash course. We're in the technology age, not in the business age, like in the way it used to be. And we're able to access like businesses at a very high level, very, very fast. So it's like a ton of growth. We wouldn't have got to this point if we didn't do a lot of work and effort to get some value to give to someone else, right? And that's something I would say to any of our younger listeners trying to be like, where do I get started? I know everybody's trying to get paid. Like, you know, I got a little brother on from Big Brothers Big Sisters, and if he's listening, he's going to give me a lot of shit for this. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, he'll mow my yard or do something at the warehouse, and he wants to be Venmo'd right away. You know, and I'm trying to teach him that, you know, you got to put work in and provide value and don't expect things overnight, and like they take time to go. And, you know, there'll be something after Amazon, there'll be something after that, you know, that's like something new that the younger generation can jump on and really learn. You talk about Amazon, I launch brands every week. You know, we're launching a different brand, whether they've never been on Amazon before, they're getting there. And there's always room to play. You know, we've launched cookie companies that are like a grandma's store that can outrank Nabisco and Chips Ahoy and Oreo and all those, because they're not taking that time to optimize like the small guys.
So true. It's unbelievable how true it is and how this is disrupting traditional business. That's why it's such an opportunity. I want to add to what you said a moment ago about not expecting anything. I think that's a very key factor for a good mindset in general, but especially with Amazon or being in e-commerce. Expect nothing, appreciate everything. Come with the mindset, I expect nothing. I'm going to get zero out of this. And when you have that mindset, all of a sudden, this makes a digit. This makes a number. This makes a positive effect. You appreciate it so much, you try to understand what's behind it, and you start pulling on that thread. Once you pull in that thread, you find, oh, there's more. All of a sudden, a few months, maybe a few years later, you realize, wow, look around me. I got so much out of this. Okay, I didn't expect anything, but I'm actually in good, solid grounds. But don't change the mindset. Still, you know, be appreciative where you are, where you stand, and keep pulling those threads and expect nothing. Because the more you do, it's just going to grow. You don't have to, it's like almost like climbing a very high mountain. You don't want to look down. It just might, you know, rub you the wrong way. Keep on looking up, looking at your trail. say, I don't expect to be in the top of the mountain. If top of the mountain, if I get there, that'll be cool. But you know what? Even at 3,000 feet, 6,000 feet, life is good. It's beautiful out here, you know? And if you get all the way to 30,000 feet, fine. But, you know, there's an element of the journey. Try to enjoy the journey. Try to enjoy the hustle and have a good time with it and do it with a good heart, you know?
I'd almost let you sign off with that because it was a great closing. But two things. One, if Nike or Adidas is listening, Adidas is kicking your ass on Amazon Nike. Like, you need to get your listings up. I love Nike. I'm struggling to get on there and see you guys not paying attention. So pay attention there. Yoni, two things. Leave us with, you know, one of a failure early on that, you know, that you had to get over, you know, to get where you are today. And then leave us with, you know, a culture mindset, a winning culture mindset that you have there at your team. You know, whether it's providing value for free and accepting new problems as wins, or some kind of mindset, you know, euphemism that you guys use there. And let's leave that with the crew here.
You got it. Yeah, you should have told me you're going to ask this a moment ago, but I'll try to do a double run on this. So regarding the first question, failures, oh, too many to count. There's many horror stories. I'll give you a simple one. This is a few years back. We tried to do a promotion, set up some sort of promotion on Amazon. A member of the team did it incorrectly. It wasn't myself. It was actually an employee.
You lost all the inventory.
We got wiped out, about 100 grand worth of loss. We had to bite it, suck it up, and get out of the pitch, get out of the hole, and keep moving. And it was really painful.
Yeah, same mistake.
Very painful. If anybody kind of knows this little widget, you know, just to make it simple, you put the promo code, it gives you 25% off. But if you put it three more times, basically four times in all, it's going to give you 100% off on the product. Somebody found the hack, and with very quickly, he got all the products for 100% off. He got them all for free, wiped us out of the business. I mean, for that product, not a business, but for that product, they killed the project. So we had to bite the bullet, you know, pick up our heads up and march on. And this is what it is. And we did. And thank God we survived. We're okay. Now I can look back at it and say, you know what, there's a major tuition paid, but lesson learned. That's one thing. Second thing with the current team, you know, a key thing is, I guess, the culture that I would like to believe that I represent, and also my partner, Max, is just being humble, you know, just being humble. Be transparent. You know, things are open discussion. There's challenges out there. We're just trying to help, you know, other companies and other organizations. And because of that, you know, if we're successful, it's probably going to create a lot of pressure points as we try to scale that up. But take it the right way. Take it once again as an opportunity. All these challenges, all these difficulties, the struggle of scale. Take it with the right perspective, with the right mindset. And for the most part, it works, because every time we kind of reach a new threshold, we group ourselves together. We influence each other in a positive atmosphere. And we break, you know, new limits into new achievements. And every time it's exciting, and it gives us confidence, another layer of confidence for the next one and the next one. But one thing, it starts from just being humble, recognize that, you know, there are limits. You're going to try to break the limits. The best way you can do it is all together as a team, with open-mindedness and transparency. And there's not too much room for ego, especially online. I don't think there's room for ego. Try to be cool. You know, if you do that.
You realize kind of when you get some knowledge, you realize how much you don't have. And I mean, you know, whether that's working with a seller like you that's done 100 million, you know, I have yet to sell a brand that's doing 100 million, you know, and I've been at this a really long time. So, you know, there's a humility there, and there's a camaraderie in the e-commerce space, because a lot of us have been out here as, you know, lone rangers, so to speak, doing our thing. And you feel like, you know, that someone's like laughing at you that you work on Amazon, or like, you know, you're just out there trying to pioneer the space, you're trailblazing, right? And so there's a camaraderie in the space that's like, oh, you also understand this thing that, you know, that I'm very passionate about. So that's great advice. And I would say one thing, Marknology has been scaling the last couple of years. And that's something that I'm telling our team is, you know, hey, just slow is smooth and smooth is fast, you know, for that tongue in cheek saying, but it's so true. It's like, guys, we just keep growing. Like, we go through the pain points. It's a struggle to grow. but it's about the process. There isn't this point of like, we've reached scale and now we're there. And if you have that in mind, it's very hard to take the losses, you know, when you're only focused on the wins. And so instead of that process, I loved how you said, you know, Gatita gets excited about a new problem versus being like, oh my God, I've never seen this problem. Like, you know, I'm having to deal with this. Instead, you get excited because you know that if you fix that new problem, it's going to unravel potential for value and opportunity across your other brands by solving it. So, absolutely great comment. Love having you on the show. Once again, thank you to our sponsor, Fullscale. Yoni, we'll have to have you back and see where you are, you know, in a little bit with Gatita and see what else is new. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. Much luck to everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy. Really a true pleasure.
Thank you.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.